Hello, and welcome to Moonwise Podcast, a space to celebrate seasons, cycles, and rites of passage. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and in this episode, I speak with sacred feminine activist Susan Lipschitz about the magic of mentorship. Susan shares her own experience with finding mentors in her life, and we talk about our own relationship over more than 10 years of working together. We also talk about the importance of intergenerational friendships, being seen by another before you fully see yourself, seeking a mentor versus a mentor finding you, vulnerability and respectful exchange, listening to your intuition, and so much more. As a quick note, when I taped this episode, I was having some allergy issues, so please excuse my stuffed up speaking voice. I do not always sound like that. Also, I want to let you know that there are limited copies left of our first print run of Rooted, the pregnancy journal I wrote honoring the inward path to motherhood. The journal includes writing and drawing prompts, meditations, quotes from a diverse group of inspiring moms, simple self-care practices, and tips. We will be offering wholesale to select retailers in the new year, so if you have a shop or wellness center or online store, I'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch or order your copy at rootedmotherhoodjournal.com. Susan Lipschitz is a sacred feminine activist with more than 30 years of experience teaching and practicing integrative psychotherapy. Devoted to building strong communities that reawaken and integrate the divine feminine into daily life, Susan combines the ancient wisdom of our grandmothers with her own powerful teachings attuned to the complexities of modern life. She's the founder of Everyday Medicine Woman, offering workshops, meditation courses, and retreats around the world. Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. It's so heartwarming to be in conversation with you.
So a lot of our listeners may remember our lunar forecast, and they may have tuned into our new moon circles that we were doing through 2020 and 2021. And so I really wanted to take a moment to sit down with Susan and talk about the role of mentorship in our lives, because she's been an incredible mentor to me for more than 10 years. And we've had many adventures together, traveled, been to sacred sites, visited a grandmother who's an incredible mentor together. So we want to share all about that. And so, yeah, to start, I just want to ask you, Susan, about the role of mentorship in your life. And in particular, I'm so fascinated by intergenerational friendships. I feel like that's something that we don't talk about enough in our culture. And it's been such a rich part of my life. And I cherish that so much. It's just such a deeper way to gain perspective in life, I feel. So what comes to you when you think about mentorship?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me into the conversation. And really enjoyed the opportunity of just reflecting on the notion of mentor, the notion of mentorship, and the uniqueness of the relationship. And I think in our culture, to actually achieve that in a really organic, rich way is pretty challenging, because you know so much of our lives is organized around the agreements that have an exchange of, I don't know, in some ways it's like fitting it into our schedules and making it all work and having a sense of, you know, almost pushing for the definition, right? The understanding, well, what's the contract going to be here? And what am I going to get from this? Like this, there's just this, sometimes I think this way in which we've lost the art of the ability to wander into or to be called into the experience of the uniqueness of what it means to be seen in a certain way, or what it means to aspire to get to know someone that you think could be important in your life without it being attached to how do I monetize this, or what's it going to mean for my career, or how do I navigate this, right? Like a lot of the experience that I think is the richness of it is the spiritual journey of it, in a sense, or how the mystery unfolds that I think is lost a great degree unfortunately, just in the way, right? In the way that, like, we think about it more in the sense of who has what that I'll need, or what do they want from me in exchange, rather than we understand how the generosity of what goes on between two people has to do with the something that's happens in a different level. Does that make sense?
Totally. And it makes me think about the idea of seeking a mentor versus a mentor finding you. And I can speak to my own experience where I've felt incredibly lucky in my life that mentors have found me, teachers have found me. And when I think about, you know, how did that happen? What I think it is that I was following the spark of inspiration or something that I just like lit up that I wanted to do. And in doing so, the teachers and mentors came to me to help me develop not only that interest, but as a human and as a person. And perhaps, yeah, I don't know, perhaps I was receptive to that and just like, yes, please. So, and it's probably so different for different people. How has that been for you, Susan? Like, how have you found mentors?
Yeah, I was reflecting on that idea when we were talking, you know, what's the difference between a teacher and a mentor, and attaching to people's teachings as being really impactful in your life, as opposed to having, I think of truly a relationship and a way of getting to know one another, being seen and seeing, right? And that experience that is more intimate almost. And they overlap, of course, but there is some quality about it. And that's, I think, what I meant by this notion of how do we capture that or how do we cultivate it? And, you know, I was thinking in so many different ways that experience of mentorship and how it can be longer and how it can be shorter, but it has this quality, as I say, of the intimacy of I really see you and I'm as being seen and seeing, exchanging that sense of how the mentor, in a way, sees something in you that you haven't necessarily gotten in touch with within yourself. And does so in a way because they're interested in you discovering that, but they're not interested in it being through fed from them, right? Like, it doesn't have to be something that it's like you have to be sculpted, and sometimes it can be, but I think it's more just the opportunity of holding up that mirror in a way that they see because they live that way or they are that way. And so they have that potential to kind of challenge you almost or invite you to come into the space that they've embodied or they've created, and then you can too. You know, and I remember that in many ways, you know, being much younger and having this experience of meeting this sculptress. This is in a bigger story of where I went to my last year of high school in Arizona, and there was this project. There was this time where we had a chance to be supported in learning, in a deep dive in learning about different kinds of crafts or different things that we were called or passionate about. So I was making art at the time and painting. And so I was with this sculptress, and she was the first person who said to me, you know, you're exotic. And I'm like the 17-year-old from Chicago, you know, I was like, what is this word? What does this really mean? But I think she was talking about, in some ways, just this undeveloped element of myself that was needed to be explored in a way, almost like the undomesticated goddess almost, you know, like, you know, it's just that experience of what is she talking about? You know, what does that word mean? And her just sort of planting this seed about, you know, just let yourself open up. Let yourself discover something that is different than the environment with which you know yourself to be or have learned about yourself, you know. And I always kept that word because it was just so curious to me. And later, you know, felt like, oh, I feel like I maybe understood what she was talking about. And that mentoring of being able to, you know, have that comment and that way of, again, as I say, inviting me into the possibility of you know, getting to know myself and my unfolding or my blossoming in a way that was, that had potential to it in a different way. And I feel like, you know, in some ways she was, because she was so outside of my life, you know, that I knew that she had that uniqueness in that deep experience with her for several weeks of inviting that possibility. And so I think of that in a way that had almost nothing to do with the path I started to walk on, but it in some ways informed it. But later, you know, certainly even in traditional situations where I had supervision when I was in a hospital social work situation and I was talking with the supervisor and she really went off the grid in terms of not just talking to me about clinical issues and that sort of thing, but really more started to speak to me about use of power and what that really meant and felt like. And she didn't tell me a yes or a no or gave a criticism or an attribute. It was more just kind of sharing her journey about herself as a woman in a particular kind of domain and what that really meant like. And I remember, you know, really appreciating what she was opening up to me in seeing in me about that as well, the similarities that we shared, and inviting me in to be able to think about myself as a holder and keeper of power in an organization and ways in which it could be detrimental and I could have problems and ways in which I could work with it. But it wasn't scripted in that way. That was more, you know, the way a woman is supposed to or not supposed to use their power. But it was like just this intimacy into here's just another way to have a conversation about what I'm seeing in you and what I you know, what I wanted to share. So again, it was just this experience within a clinical setting and within a supervisor that became a mentor, where she was really guiding me in a sense, although it was unspoken almost. But I came to really respect and appreciate over time. And I think that's that thing about when mentors show up, sometimes it's only later that we really understand the teachings of what they were imparting or what they were attempting to help navigate and support in us that would unfold down the road. You know, it was almost like they're giving us little notes and putting them in our pockets. And later we find them and we go, oh, I couldn't read them then. I didn't know or I forgot I had them. And then we open them up, you know. And I think later, though, what I do find is when I'm reflecting back on mentors was, as you said, what was the spark of inspiration that I saw in someone? And I did have a bit of fearlessness when I felt compelled to get to know someone or that I felt that it was really important that I work with them, you know, or have an experience with them, you know. And two that really pop out or three that really come to mind to me was when I knew I was looking for a woman to work with, a medicine woman to work with, because I was working with men in the apprenticeships when I started to do that shamanic teaching and training. And it was this medicine woman that I had heard about for years, and it just didn't work out that I could do any workshops with her or events she was doing. And it was, again, that teacher shows up when the student's ready. And so it was an opportunity to work with her, and it just absolutely lit me up in really important ways. And I just found myself standing there saying, I really want to work with you, and how can we make that happen? And, you know, it very quickly turned into an opportunity where inviting her to Chicago and her working with the goddess gatherings and what that opened up in a way was then working with Kinta Ray, who was the ritual ceremonial teacher that ended up being really important to me in the, you know, Mapuche traditions. And what she had said, which was really interesting, is, you know, if I really open myself up to teach you, to be with you, you know, you have to come and live here, because it's not just, I'm not just teaching you the dance or teaching you the ritual. I have to teach you how I cook. I have to teach you how I grow my herbs. Like, it was for her, it wasn't this differentiation. It was like this sense of if I take you under my condor wing, you know, this is the experience, as it's in the cultural way. There's no delineation in the way, may the Western way we exchange of energy, right? And so it was just this sense of I let you in, and my understanding of the is that you will be completely available. And so that's something that's very foreign to us, you know, to do that kind of intimate apprenticeship of really spending that kind of time with someone in that sense. And yet that is more what was understood in a very different kind of cultural way. And yet there was this experience of her being willing in a way and seeing something in me and dressing me in the regalia and showing me, you know, some of what went on. And I remember also with the other teacher that I worked with, it was very much that sense too. And it wasn't like you say that you have to do it this way. As a matter of fact, it was more me following her around saying, will you teach me how to do this dance or how am I supposed to do this? And her just kind of never answering me. And me having to wing it on my own, and then later her laughing and going, you had to find your own way to it, but I knew you could do it, you know, or gifting me with certain kinds of ceremonial pieces that I knew had tremendous magic in them or that I had to discover. I kind of like had to find the secret passageway into them or open up the code, and that was part of the process, right? But in a very, again, a very one-on-one kind of way. And so thinking about in particular the person that we ended up working with together and that, you know, when we went to New Mexico of Grandmother Flor de Mayo, and what happened with that was I saw and read about her and knew that I wanted to meet her and work with her and went to a conference she was going to be at, and she was available, she put her wares out and she was sold a lot of her, you know, different kinds of things, you know, her seeds and different things that she brought. And so in that time, there was just this opportunity to meet her. Felt like a little mosquito around her for a couple of days. But I really had this vision. And I had said to her, you know, I would love to bring some women to work with you in New Mexico. And she just said to me, write me a letter. And I usually jump on things and I didn't write her for like months. And I finally sat down and wrote her the letter. And when I wrote her the letter, I didn't hear from her. And I was sure it was just, you know, got lost or it wasn't appropriate. And then I came to another conference a couple of months later. And I happened to see her. And she said, oh, Chicago. She said, and she pulled up the envelope and she said, I have your letter. And she said, I want to talk to you. And then one of her assistants said to me, you know, it's amazing because when you sent her the letter, she had just had a dream about buying this, you know, coming in contact with this land that she might buy and to do this work to bring people there. And she said, and then your letter came, which was an affirmation to her and a sign that this was, part of her getting her information. And so then I thought about that and I thought if I had sent it to her right when I had met her, none of that would have materialized. So it's again, just that, you know, again, being in that divine flow, so to speak, of what we feel guided into divine timing and how that all just flows or is in harmony with the person on the other end and the agreement that comes from that in the exchange of understanding of who, without really ever knowing, because we have to cultivate it together, free choice, free will, and who we are as humans, right? But it was just part of that process. And then she invited me to a space that she was just right before she was in the process of you know, becoming a steward for the path, the land that she subsequently stewarded. And then we did bring a couple of women, you know, groups. You were one of those. And, you know, this experience of her back and forth and the way she opened up. And I would have to say that, you know, this experience of then her coming to Costa Rica with us and, you know, having this ongoing exchange of really beautiful kinds of interchanges that I found very beautiful for me. And I think she let me in to be a friend to her. So it was multifaceted. And it was intergenerational in that sense of getting to know her daughter and her getting to meet my daughter who was on the trip as well, you know, but a lot of it had to do with how she walked her path or lived her life. Not only, right, the particular teachings, but it was the teaching of being in the experience of her journey and how much it reflected and echoed some of the struggles that I had and decisions that I had to make in my life as well as a mother, as a teacher, as a human, you know? And so it was just, as I say, multifaceted and very warm and very sweet and very instructive. And often I would tell her, oh, I learned so much about this way you made this decision. And it was something that it didn't even occur to her, and being witnessed in that way, you know, and then being reflected back, I think had meaning for her as well. So this experience of mentorship is one that I think, as I said, has a sweetness to it and has an intimacy. I just keep coming back to that word, you know, and an expectation. But it's an expectation that comes out of someone opening themselves up to you. And will you respect that? Will you honor that? And then how can you serve it? You know, so I think of those questions as well when I'm being gifted into an experience of someone that I believe holds a kind of knowledge and a kind of way that I can grow in their presence. And how do I show up for that? And how, like I say, how can I honor that? And how can I also really show up when I see someone that I believe has that potential that I feel in a way is almost part of my responsibility as on my path to assist them. Many times I've seen that, you know, you were one of them, where I said, oh, I need to take them under my wing. And it wasn't one of I'm better than them. It was more like there's something about this exchange that I think I can assist in them and that I feel is important almost to the teachings we all hold or the guidance that we carry in a much deeper, richer way.
I love it. And so much comes up in me. And I love that you bring up intimacy because it really makes me remember how the most impactful moments I've had with mentors is when they have opened up their humanity. And I think that may be the difference between a teacher and a mentor, because you can pay a teacher to teach you how to do something. And they may or may not be kind of on that teacher pedestal and sort of have that persona of teacher. However, to me, a mentor, now that we're talking about it, is showing up as their humanity and perhaps even revealing some of their challenges or, like you said, the way they do things. And it's not so much about what they do, but how they do it. And I remember times when I've watched you, Susan, walk across a room in ceremony, and the way that you walked, I get chills. I'm almost in tears. Like the way you walked across the room, I learned more from that than from anything you've ever done or said, because it was how you were embodying the wisdom that you carry. And it just moves me. I'm like, whatever she's having, I want to have that. I want to walk on the earth like her, how she, like you said, works with power. And I remember the conversations you've had with me, like when I started my dream job, and you'd be like, all right, you're apprenticing with power now. So it's so sweet to hear like the story of how you were kind of trained that way. And I also love that you brought up challenge, because to me, a mentor is not going to tell you what you want to hear or just like praise you or be like, oh, you're special. I think that the mentor definitely sees something in someone that is definitely special, and everyone has something special, right? But to coax that out and to challenge a person to like step into responsibility and sovereignty and effort for what they could really be in the world. Like to me, there's so much wisdom, patience, and perspective that a mentor has to have to really see like, okay, they're on this path. I'm going to drop some little breadcrumbs. I love also that idea of being immersed in someone's way of living, and that you're not really separating like the professional maybe from like, yeah, how do they cook a meal for their family? How much could you learn from someone how they fold the laundry for their beloveds? Like it's not all different. And in our modern world, of course, we mostly don't go to live with, you know, a mentor, a teacher, or a guide, but I like that perspective of everything that one does can be a teaching when they're doing it in this certain embodied way that expresses like what they know about love and life and power.
Thank you. No, yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's a humility And I think there's a vulnerability in the process, whether it's the mentor or the mentee, because there is more of the more time that you spend with someone. And I think now that gets into this idea of, I mean, certainly with COVID, everything's just completely up for grabs, because we're not even, when you were talking about walking across the room, and it's like, you know, oh, for the days when we could be, you know, have the luxury of spending weekends or weeks together, and, you know, or just sacred time where we consider to be no big deal. Like, we're just kind of in the same room, right? We long for all of that so much. But I think, again, in our culture, we have to create and schedule for everything. So it makes it difficult to have a more, again, the organic kind of experience with a mentor, not to mean that we're supposed to be in, you know, just hours and hours with one another, but there is, and I think the beauty that comes forth and the opportunities that come forth when we're, you know, kind of having that dedicated experience with someone that is maybe the keynote to mentoring or mentorship. Again, when we talk about this, so the vulnerability in the sense that when you're in the mentor or the mentee, you're kind of exposing yourself, not because you're choosing or not choosing to, it's just when you're going, when you're rolling your sleeves up and having this exchange of depth around what it is that we're learning or that we are aspiring to or that we're discovering, right? That there needs to be focus on that and not so much the protection of our image or the sense of, you know, what we're choosing to share with someone. It just starts to happen. And so we, you know, that is a part of it too, I think. And certainly that can happen with teaching as well. But I think the difference, like when we talk about with teaching or teachers, is that yes, there can be this very particular kind of exchange that can go on, but I think the teacher has in some ways more of the power base or the potential for the power base unless they choose to be really thoughtful about that or the control elements, you know, and that idea of a student's and just the whole notion of what are we getting, what are we giving, you know, what is the purpose that goes on, you know, has kind of a different and sometimes flawed element to it and sometimes cleaner set of understandings with that as well, you know, in that sense. And I think also we can have teachers we never met, you know, when I first, and I think we know that, like with just reading certain books that change our lives. And we all walk around with them and go, yes, the teaching from that book or this person, you know, I've studied for years and I've never met them, or maybe they've never even offered themselves in an actual experience of in-person learning, you know. And Jamie Sams was that first person for me when I read, you know, her books and her cards and, you know, just that experience of opening me up to a whole cosmovision of learning about earth-honoring traditions, you know, and the generosity of that was really, really impactful for me, you know. And so many people that we have a little bit more access to now, that if they choose to go on social media and do that, you know, right, but so we have a little bit more exchange with them. But those teachers we may never have met, or teachers through other generations that we've never met, or ancient ones, even teachers that we come through, if we want to get esoteric, you know, like cosmically or through the dream time or through a journey, something like that. You know, so there's many ways, or, you know, animal allies or plant teachers, you know, that sort of thing that we open up to how we learn, as opposed to the you know, a particular experience of being mentored or mentoring, which has a relationship element to me. To me, that feels like the most significant difference. Does that resonate?
Yeah. So to you, mentorship is more of a two-way exchange, whereas teaching is more of like a one, or can be more of a one-way.
Well, I guess I would say, I mean, I experience it as two-way, but I think it's not, it has more, I don't know if it's a limit, but I think it's more, you know, specific in scope.
Yeah, more boundaried.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, it's more specific to the topic or to the theme or to the exchange of energy, which mentoring can as well. But I think once one gets into it, it there's just a, I want to say a magic or an alchemy that can happen with it.
Yeah, it really is magical, and well, one thing I'm wondering about is, in your experience, the proper way to approach a mentor or perhaps like give back. I know that you've been really dedicated to making sure that folks like Flor de Mayo are properly honored and cared for when she comes to teach, to even be, you know, compensated in ways that really benefit her work in the world. And of course, we're living in this capitalistic society, so it's, you know, harder to navigate that. But what in your mind are really proper and respectful ways to approach and work with a mentor?
That's a great question. And I think it kind of depends on what is the schema or what is the ways in which we experience, maybe we meet our mentor or we see how we all live. I know that sounds a bit big. I guess the way I'm kind of thinking about it is more, I have a particular way that my frame of reference is, which is that the individuals that I invited or reached out to, or they found me, I would have to say, is more from the perspective of teachers that are working in traditions that have a history or a lineage that has to do with honoring and supporting themselves in a particular way, like through sponsorship or through a way of caring for them. So I'm thinking about like Kinta Ray and what my other women that we all came together and we created this little consortium, and we created a pension for her because the community that she lived in, historically, people who were elders or medicine people would be cared for and taken care of. And that wasn't really happening in her community. And so we all came together and created this equivalent of a pension where we just said, okay, monthly we're sending to this individual who is then going to help put that towards her needs. And that felt important to us to do. And it wasn't based on how much she contributed to, like, she wasn't required to do a call with us every month or something. It was just like, she was older, she had needs, we wanted to make sure that they were cared for, and we continued until she ended up passing on. So it was something way past us having actual continued current sort of relationship with her. I mean, she lived in Chile, we were in North America, but we felt it was important to us to keep going. We had just this way that we continued the contribution. And so that was one way that we did it, or it just felt to me really important that if we made a commitment to have this experience with someone, that we dedicated ourselves to that, or, you know, the years prior when we worked with the Quiero in Peru, that we got their cloths and we sold the cloths at a certain rate, and then we sent the money back so that they could have grain or that they could continue their crops or something that the kids needed for medication. It was like a fund that we did, so that we felt like this wasn't dependent on how much they were teaching us or serving us in this moment, right? It was just this exchange of how do you support individuals in a way that they need it, in the form they need it. So it was more in kind, but it was through a money exchange because just that's the currency. We didn't live there and we couldn't do those kinds of things. So I know that's a big answer, but it was more the frame of reference that I think I thought about or think about when I'm working with people from indigenous communities who, to really assess how can I support you? And that would be generally my question, you know, how can I be of value? How can my community support you? What do you need? So it wasn't based on are you going to do 3 hours with me and then I'm going to pay for you for 3 hours. It was really just this sense of, you know, being able to support someone and really thinking of it as their body of work and their teachers who taught them and the suffering and sacrifice they made to be able to open themselves up that then afforded me this incredible opportunity right now. It was just, that was sort of my frame of reference that I came to. So I think of it in that context, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, especially because often in the Western mindset, we're like, okay, here I'm giving you this amount of money and I expect that you do X, Y, and Z for me. And there's a bit of like an extractive mentality when it's just like tit for tat. But if we're coming from a place of genuine gratitude, honoring, respect, and this like heartfelt wanting to share more with someone who's given so much that can't even really be quantified, right? Like these, especially spiritual teachings, like you can't really put a price on that, but you can ask and notice like, oh, what would make your life a little more comfortable? Or how can we, yeah, like you said, support you. So that makes perfect sense.
And yes. And I think at the same time, there's a dark side of all of that, because I think as just, and this gets into something we can't even like open the door for, but I think there's just such a sense of us as Westerners coming in, even with good intentions. And so, you know, an expectation that might go along with that. And then on the other hand, we've certainly seen where people have masqueraded as wanting to provide knowledge or wanting to provide teachings or wanting to say, okay, I'll work with you, and this is what I need. And it's this extraction of endless kinds of resources or money. And, you know, and so it's just something to say, is this person really who they say they are? And what is my fantasy about them? And then, you know, what I attribute and what's really going on. And so I think there's just all these different sorts of ways that we see that, and we see that through, you know, again, beyond the scope of this, but I think it just gets into us being in continuing to reflect who is the person. Let's take off what we want someone to be that's beyond who they can be. They're humans, and just like we're humans, and how we can have an exchange of energy that does feel fair at the same time. So I think that's part of it too. So I'm, you know, in a way I'm contradicting myself, but I'm saying it's kind of all in the learning that goes on when we're having a one-on-one experience where we're really feeling like we have this sacred opportunity to learn from someone, whether it's in an academic situation or it's in a spiritual situation or it's in a work, you know, more of a traditional work situation or a creative situation. Like, how do we set that up so it feels like really clean and it feels like we're honoring a person in a rich way and that we're receiving in a really respectful way that feels like we're being respected as well, you know, that we have to set up, I think, in the front end. So it feels really clean and it feels well expressed. And then we can enjoy the experience in a really beautiful way. So I guess I would say that feels important. You know, when we have the initial sense of, I would really like to learn from or with you, and I feel that you could really be important to my growth, or someone says, you know, I think you have something that's important to cultivate, and I think that I can be of help in that way. And then we kind of work that out. I know recently, I don't know if you saw the movie Coda. I really encourage, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. And this young woman she's a girl, really, but she has this incredible voice, and she's really afraid to sing in public. And she gets this person he's just the music teacher in the room, but he offers himself to be her mentor teacher because he sees something in her and he hears it and he just really feels it's precious and important. And how they come about in the experience of that exchange of energy and what he sets up as the conditions under which he can do that and what that means for her. And I think it's in a contemporary way, right? It's a beautiful kind of, and we could say it's a teacher, but it's more of a mentor because he really puts himself out on the ledge to, you know, to support her and does extend himself beyond the boundaries, but in a very healthy way, but an important way, precious way, and how she has to show up for that, what it means to really say yes, you know, and how they both learn from that. So it just reminds me of that in some ways, you know? So I think, you know, I struggle with that too in a way. Like I think about, you know, that I don't consider myself or like the word coach, but I do think that, you know, that sense of when sometimes my work with individuals moves more into the mentorship category and how we do that in an innovative way and how we, you know, like you said, how do we put a price tag on something like that where we go, well, it's priceless, but at the same time, your time is worth something. And so how do we, you know, create the a clean understanding of the exchange of energy and what that means from a monetary point of view, and what that means from what we agree to, that has to do with a kind of respect both on both sides, and not necessarily an expectation, but at the same time an understanding of what we're engaging into that feels important that we honor.
Well, as you say, I mean, it is complicated. It's human relationships, which can be very multifaceted. And so there are so many layers and levels there. And what it sounds like you're saying is that it is really important to have some kind of container or agreements with which to operate so that things can, yeah, feel like they're respectful on both sides. And in our experience, you've always been really good about that, of like, let's do a check-in and talk about what we're agreeing to. And I've learned a lot from that to, you know, even have someone who's like, who I would consider older and wiser, to be like, so let's check in and like see how it's feeling for both of us. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I have a say in this, which is a teaching in itself. So I appreciate that about you. And I see you very much as a coach, but more than a coach, because for me in particular, whenever I'm like, okay, I need someone to give me the truth, I go to Susan, because she's, you know, she's going to tell it to me real, but in a way that I can handle, like gentle enough that I can digest it, but she's going to give it to me straight, basically. So like in some of my darkest nights of the soul, I'm like, okay, got to call up Susan and see what I'm up to. And even, you know, when I felt my most lost, I remember you, Susan, telling me, you were like, you know, your mission is too important. You're going to find your way back. It wasn't like, oh, Dorte, it's fine. Everything's great. You're going to, you know, it was like, just remember, your mission is too important. You will get back on course. And there's a lot there, you know, like that I could really chew on and mull over. And it was also an affirmation for me of like deciding that's true. And how can I find my way back? And it wasn't like, oh no, you're not lost, Dorte. It's like, well, like, yeah, get it together, but you'll figure it out. So those have been some really important moments. So thank you.
Oh, well, it's nice to hear that, you know, sometimes people will tell me something that I said and it's like, oh, I'm glad that was helpful. It is challenging, I think, on both ends, right? To listen to what someone has to say, and even if we seek it out and it's not quite what we want to hear, but it's the medicine of what we need, and to also have the courage to care about. And I think that's the other word, you know, we've talked about intimacy and we've talked about boundaries, and we've talked about, you know, vulnerability and really kind of creating a safe space to go deep through with an intention of the particulars of the relationship. But I think something that needs to be present for anything to alchemize into something else, or to have that quality, a possibility, is also love. And so, you know, love is present in all spaces where life grows. And so I think that's part of it too, is to also, you know, recognize that there's love for someone. And, you know, that's what I have felt, even with, you know, Kinta Ray, who is, anybody will tell you, you know, she had one eye that was frozen and it went in a direction where she didn't really look at you. And it was just like this experience of just being mildly terrified whenever you talk with her. And she didn't speak English. She didn't even really speak Spanish. She spoke her native tongue. So it was always this sense of what is this woman saying to me, and what does she really think of me? And when she was often angry at me was when she told me, I remember one time she was blessing, she had created this North American Council. And so she got these moonflowers, and we were up on this area where she was throwing them into the river. and casting them in to see the direction that the moonflower would go was information about the women. And so later, my friend who was doing the translation said to me, she didn't have a flower. I counted how many, and she didn't say your name, and she didn't have the flower. And so she was mad at her on my behalf. And so she's like, you have to ask her. So she was like, you didn't cast a flower for Susan. And then she turns to me, and she says to me with this really stern voice in, you know, not in English. She said, I thought you were smarter. I thought you were smarter than you are. She said, you're the wind that blows the flowers. Like, you're the dance, because that was what she gave me, the keeper of, you're the keeper of the ritual dance. And so then she sharply, you know, says this to me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to crawl away right now. But it was again, just this sense of what we think is going on, and, you know, really having that sense of what is really going on at a deeper level. And, you know, we could go on and on about that story, but I think it just, the humbling of, you know, how someone cares for us, and somehow how we are included in the experience. And so what I often felt about that is, in her own way, again, that sense of how I wanted to be treated versus who she really was at that moment. She wasn't there to cuddle me. She wasn't there to nurture me in that way. That wasn't her. I've had other people that were. It was really more that in this, in however way she was, in the way that she showed up, in the way that she was imparting knowledge, and that she saw in me to impart that knowledge to me, was her way, not was the way I needed to, or I thought was the way she was supposed to give it to me. You know, and so it was, again, just that sense of how that, the acceptance of who someone is, and that they're not maybe going to be my maternal figure, right? Or maybe they won't be the person that I necessarily, you know, hold as a keeper of how I would behave. It's really just more what they are teaching me in a very personal way, because they believe that I have the capability. And I think that's true sometimes with who we also work with as well, to say, all right, I'm going to share with you what I think will be meaningful for you, but it may not be in the style. That's not who I need to be as your mentor, but it might be who I would be if I was going to be your, you know, mother figure or something.
Right. Like, a mentor isn't going to be necessarily a replacement for the mother or the father we always wanted to have and fill the holes in us that we wish we had, you know. That's important.
Right. Exactly. It's like, again, in how we understand when we're living more in community, or living more in for not to appropriate, but more of a tribal kind of sense. It was often said, that's why children, if they were seen to have certain gifts, like the Dalai Lama was taken from his family home when it was, you know, at like 3 or 4, and brought into a different, you know, place that he would live to be apprenticed, to be taught. Because it was shown that he had these really special gifts. So it was, and I think that's an extreme, but in that sense of, your family wasn't considered to necessarily, like, for you, you know, in that sense of, well, oh, you have a gift in herbalism, but maybe your family aren't herbalists, then you needed another community or people to nurture that in you, which weren't your parent replacements. They were individuals who were going to nurture your craft or nurture your ability, right? So that was that sense of, you know, the way in which the community could support all the different, like, elements of who you were, and nurture that along the way, and in a mentoring sort of capacity. So as we could go to the School of Journalism or something, you know, but we chose that as opposed to, you know, because we thought we would be good at it, as opposed to someone saying, you know, I have my eye on you, and come, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to write together for a long period of time and see what that's like.
Yeah, that actually brings up an interesting thing about, sometimes our parents, they love us so much, they want to also keep us safe, and they want to be a place of comfort. And at a certain point in our lives, we need something more than that. And my mom actually says this really funny thing. She says, your parents don't want what's best for you. They want you to be safe. And what I think she means by that is, like, anytime I was ready to take a really big risk in my life, My mom and my grandmother and my family were like, oh my God, don't do that. That's dangerous. And, you know, of course it wasn't something crazy like jumping off a cliff, but it was like traveling to India or other risks that I've taken that felt like very worthy, noble challenges for me to grow. I did need that outside influence and support because sometimes perhaps as parents, we don't see our children in a certain way. We want to comfort them. We want to protect them. But others may see something that's like, ooh, okay, they're ready for a challenge.
Well, and we need to have the experience of someone who isn't maybe so invested in our safety, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't kind of love us that much, so to speak, if we're fortunate enough to have the confines of people who, you know, their priority is our well-being and our protection, you know. And it reminds me of that Demeter Persephone, you know, story in a way of the symbology of sometimes we have to, you know, kind of be at, not that we want to have the negative part of the story of being abducted, but there's some part of us that we need to pull ourselves away. It's like in an almost like, you know, we have to rip the fabric of an aspect of ourself away from something that's a part of us in order to grow. And, you know, and become separate, the separating from, like even birth is a separating, the beginning of the separating process, you know, that we're not inside of our mothers. And, you know, through the birth and the pain of birth and the separation of that, we continue that process going because we have to grow and learn and become our full self. And so in that individuating process, though, there's another kind of set of eyes and another kind of individual that we meet along the way that says, yes, I'm ready to take you on a different journey. And that journey will have its own set of experiences with it. And at some point, whether we, you know, they say the greatest gift you can give or honoring of the teacher is to outgrow them. And so in that sense of, okay, I have to go on to learn from someone else. And so again, in that overlap of whether it's the mentor or the teacher, we do find that, and sometimes we find it through the disillusionment of the experience, or we grow to the end of what they have to teach us, or them, each other, or what the agreement was, or kind of it happens in a conscious or unconscious way, but it continues as long as we're hopefully growing and learning, like you say, that we then start to see that place that we kind of set our sails for, or that as we get further along in our journey, that we discover that we want to invite someone into our space to, and there's, you know, I think a sense of not worthiness in a way that is someone else decides what we're worth, but I think a worthiness of being invited in, right? Like that person is worth our time, and we feel that it's worth our resources, you know, that and sometimes it's everything that we wanted and more, and sometimes even in the experience that it doesn't quite meet up to what we'd hoped, we always learn something from it. So it's a worthy, you know, process.
I feel like I could talk with you about this all day, but I want to make sure to ask you as we come to the close, any advice you would have for those who are seeking mentorship in their lives?
I would say, maybe begin by saying, what is it that I am craving to learn more about that I kind of can't find in a way that's accessible to me? Or how would I like to go deeper in that process? And if I look around, who comes to mind as someone who's the keeper or holder? You know, like sometimes we say, I want to be you when I grow up kind of thing. Like it's just, I know it's a fantasy or it's an illusion, but you know, it's more just in terms of saying there's an attribute or a skill or a way that they have grown, even in business. Like sometimes I'll encourage people to say, you know, like, who's your business hero? Or and not so much in that traditional way of how much they've yielded, but more how have they created, how have they grown their own brand or something that they care about in a way that also has value to you, or the way that they've gone about it that breeds a sense of respect or admiration. You know, like, not to be that person, but I want to learn more about their secret sauce, kind of. Like, I want to get a sense of learning more about the, to go within at a deeper level and to have that experience of understanding how that happened for them. So I think it starts in a way of like, you know, almost like, you know, we start to read memoirs about people, or we read their biography, or we get that interview about them and we're really curious. Like, you know, I saw Annie Lennox, Annie Leibovitz recently came and had her latest book, you know, The Photographer, and talked about her years of how her life unfolded. And it was like, oh, that was so interesting to me, because it was a series of events that brought the opportunities to her. And how she showed up for them and who saw that in her, you know? So it was that sense of how in learning about someone who's already aspired to something helps me understand maybe how I could find that too. I don't know if that's, it's like a hunt and pack in a way, you know, Absolutely. Or a sacred breadcrumbs, or a, you know, it's just starting the process of how do I want to grow into, what do I want to grow into, and how do I feel like that maybe someone that I've met, someone that I've read about, or, you know, where does that take me to a way in which I would like to learn from them if it's possible?
Yeah, that makes sense. And maybe even also just noticing the type of people that seem to be magnetized to you. I remember when I was younger, a lot of really amazing healers and what I would call medicine people would be around me. And I always wondered, like, how does this happen? Like, why do I get to be here? And only many, many, many years later do I see in myself some of the qualities that I was around and understood why I was in those circles. But it took years. I was always like, oh, I'm not a healer. I'm not a therapist. I don't do body work. Why am I friends with all these people? And they'd be like, oh, you're a healer too. And I'm like, really? Doing what? Like, I don't even see it. But so perhaps for some of you listening, you are surrounded by folks, or you're have an innate attraction to, like, oh, wow, these people are amazing at like riding motorcycles and I'm so into it. Who knows? Like, maybe there's a reason why you're drawn to that, and follow that spark of inspiration and joy. Cause for me, that was definitely plants. Like, I was like, oh my God, plants. And so, yeah, that could possibly lead you to that path of finding mentorship and community. Yeah. But I'm sure there's many, many ways.
Right. And what I'm hearing for you is a sense of the, and I would say too, for me, but in a different way, is listening to your intuition and trusting yourself that when you feel you want to be supported in a process where you will be nurtured and challenged around an area of concentration or cultivation, like, I want to grow, I want to develop, I really want that experience of someone who I feel in a particular way can help support my evolution, but, you know, in a way that I do feel in touch with in some way, or that I want to learn more about. And so to say, all right, my responsibility is maybe to articulate within myself, what is it that I need or want? And I have to be honest with myself about that. And then to say who, what, where, or how do I facilitate that? Or do I support that for myself? So it is that growing process, or that seeking. I do think there is a seeking process involved, and being willing to seek. So I think of that, you know, me, I think of that like being the jaguar, you know, being the tracking. How do I track that? How do I find the tracks? You know, how do I get out into the woods? And I'm not that woodsy person of literally looking for the jaguar tracks, but I think as it relates in my life, I do, and I would say reflecting back into, you know, meeting my sculpturist friend or clinically, it's like I did know I wanted to be supervised by that woman and I didn't know why. I did feel when I was in the presence of this individual, Shirley, who is the sculptress, I wasn't interested in sculpting, but it's a way that she had the courage to follow her dreams and the way she was living her life that felt like there is something really special about what's going on in this space that I just really feel grateful for, you know? So I think be a tracker and seek and say, okay, I'm on the hunt for, and what is it I'm on the hunt for? And when do I feel in the presence that I'm getting closer? And then when I am, you know, in the presence of someone or in the presence of an experience, like you say, I need to go to India, or, you know, I'm going to raise the money and I'm going to do that. And then, you know, whatever that might be overall in that big spiritual journey way. But I think as it relates to an individual, I mean, I've had experiences, you know, where I have literally just written an email to someone. And sometimes I don't hear back from them. You know, not every seed that you plant grows. And sometimes I do. And it's just amazing to me. Or I'll get an email from someone. And it's like, oh, you know, that's really, really amazing. And I really feel, you know, I might not have the time, energy, or I'm not the right person, and I'll send them to that. But, you know, it does touch me. And, you know, I will respond back. And then we try to figure out what that's going to mean or look like. Or it's somebody that, a lot of times it's for me, like we found with each other, it's like you have this way of being able to translate what was going on in terms of me imparting information in a way that you didn't, you know, dilute my voice, but you could, you know, bring it into a written form or organize it. I always say that, you know, you've got that incredible capacity to translate into the order in the organization and keep the potency of what I'm, you know, trying to impart. That was so meaningful to me, that I felt was so rich in the exchange of our work together, you know. And so just to keep remembering, likely, you know, even though the mentor is going to invite, you know, is going to require a certain kind of maybe material exchange, right? But also that there, it's a kind of a two-way street, that you are also providing them with something that they're learning from you as well. So take the risk. I think that's what I'm saying. You know, take the risk. What's the worst that can happen? And, you know, they, in a way, they say yes, and then it's not what you hope for, but
you learned something, as you said,
one way or another. Yeah. Yeah. So I would say you have to get out of your comfort zone. Uh-huh. You have to be, at least have enough understanding to say, I want to develop this within myself.
Yeah.
And who do I think could help me with that? And then you're off and running.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Susan. This has been an awesome conversation. I hope that we can chat about more themes like this in the future. And for those who want to get in touch with you and learn more about your work, where can we find you online?
Well, you can, my website, everydaymedicinewoman.com, and you can write me Susan@everydaymedicinewoman.com. And then through Instagram, I do have a Facebook page, but I think more ongoing kinds of material and opportunities will come up through Instagram.
Great. And you're @SusanLipschitz on Instagram.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Always a pleasure. Always love our sacred conversations, and always excited to see what you're cooking up in your kitchen of possibilities that you share and impart with everyone. So I'm always grateful to be together and to also listen to all that you bring forth in your platform. So I look forward to that as well.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can hear more episodes on moonwise.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoyed the episode, leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts and get a shout out on the show. Reviews help others find the podcast, and I read each and every one. Thank you so much for your support. Our theme music is Butterflies March from Sophie Cooper's album, Rewilding. See you next time.